In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
A vaccine whistleblower documents the suppression of data that showed a correlation between the MMR vaccine and autism.
Here's Dr. Wakefield starts a conversation to Thompson and says, is your press release real? That press release said that, you know, Thompson acknowledged that it was him on the recordings and that he would be happy to work with people to determine whether autism and vaccines are related. So Thompson responds, yes. Wakefield, thank you. That was the right and honorable thing to do. Dr. Thompson, I agree. I apologize again for the price you paid for my dishonesty. Dr. Wakefield, I forgive you completely and without any bitterness. Dr. Thompson, I know you mean it, and I'm grateful to know you more personally. It's an amazing exchange. How is that not on the news?
This podcast is brought to you by Logo Creator 7 Software. These days, it's more important than ever to have a good image, especially if you have a small business or you sell stuff online or post on social media. But quality graphics can cost money, and advanced software like Photoshop takes time to learn. That's why I want to tell you about some amazing piece of software called Creator 7. Creator 7 is so easy to use, yet it lets you create super-looking logos, business cards, character mascots, you name it, in minutes. Whatever you create is going to look super cool and impressive. Creator 7 comes with hundreds of ready-made templates. Just click and drag to make changes, and instantly you have really impressive graphics right on your computer. Some clever folks have even ordered the Creator 7 software to start their own logo-making business, creating and selling logos and graphics for a profit. That's how good it is. But you won't believe the price. Creator 7 creates beautiful logos and designs right on your computer and works on either PC or Mac. And right now, it's available at an amazing price. To see it in action, just visit radioshowlogo.com. That's radioshowlogo.com. Radioshowlogo.com.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs, here's Richard Serrett.
Well, I just got back from mailing some packages at the post office, which is inside Shoppers Drug Mart, and there are signs and posters and reminders everywhere in Shoppers. Get your flu shot. Get your flu shot. Don't forget to get your flu shot. Commercials on TV and on the radio. Don't forget to get your flu shot. And I'm not going to tell anyone else what to do. If you choose to get the flu shot, then God bless you. But not the Serrett family. No, thank you. I don't need to get jabbed with a needle containing a flu virus cultured inside chicken eggs. Thank you very much. There's a simpler, more effective way, in my opinion. It's called regular and rigorous hand washing. And that is only my opinion, which apparently I'm allowed to have as of December the 29th. What time is it? Okay, we're still safe. We're going to talk vaccines for the next 40 minutes or so. I recently read Vaccine Whistleblower. It's a gripping account of four legally recorded phone conversations between Dr. Brian Hooker, a scientist investigating autism and vaccine research, and Dr. William Thompson, a senior scientist in the Vaccine Safety Division at the Centers for Disease Control. Thompson, who incidentally is still employed at the CDC, under the Federal Whistleblower Protection Act, discloses a pattern of data manipulation, fraud, and corruption at the highest levels at the CDC. This is the federal agency in charge of protecting the health of Americans. And Vaccine Whistleblower, in my mind, nullifies the government's claims that vaccines are safe and effective. And it shows that the government rigged research to cover up the link between vaccines and autism. Scientific truth and the health of American children have been compromised in order to protect the vaccine program and the pharmaceutical industry. The financial cost of the CDC's corruption? Staggering. The human cost? Incalculable. Kevin Barry, Esquire, is the father of three sons, one with regressive autism. After receiving his Juris Doctor from the Hofstra University School of Law, he worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York in the Civil Division. Kevin is currently co-president of the Elizabeth Burt Center for Autism Law and Advocacy. He's also the president of First Freedoms, Inc., a nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing the freedom guaranteed by the First Amendment of the Constitution. Kevin is the former president of Generation Rescue. He lives in New York City. Kevin Barry, welcome to Conspiracy Unlimited. How are you?
I'm great, Richard. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to, before we get into Vaccine Whistleblower, I just want to talk a little bit about Dr. Andrew Wakefield with you. And for those, I can't imagine that there are too many who don't know about Dr. Wakefield, but there may be some. Here is a gentleman back in the late 90s who wanted to study a possible link between the MMR vaccine and autism. He was a gastroenterologist. And my recollection is he wasn't a vehement anti-vax vaccine person. All he was saying in the study was, hey, maybe we ought to look at this. And he wasn't even advocating that people not take the measles vaccine. He just says, can't they provide it? Can't the vaccine manufacturer provide this measles vaccine sort of in a single dose without being married with the mumps and rubella vaccine? To my recollection, that's all he was saying. And then they virtually ran him out of England and destroyed his career.
Yeah, that's right. And then, well, another aspect of that is the paper, the original Lancet paper. It was a case study of 12 people. You know, it wasn't a double-blind placebo study, so and they never claimed it was. And so, when they were saying that Wakefield's co-authors on that paper retracted the findings, that's not accurate because there were no findings to retract. They didn't say that it was causal. So they made a lot of noise in the UK that there was a retraction of a finding, but the finding wasn't there in the first place.
So that's 1998, nearly 20 years ago.
Right.
Then when was it that Dr. William Thompson, the CDC scientist for the Vaccine Safety Division, that he came, we learned about him. Was that 2015, thereabouts?
Yeah, 2014. But it's Dr. Thompson first joined the CDC right around that same time in the late 90s. There's some fascinating aspects of where Dr. Thompson and Dr. Wakefield overlap. Among them, the MMR studies that Thompson was part of at the CDC, that was during the intervening time from when Wakefield's MMR paper happened in the late 90s and the Kangaroo Court of the omnibus hearings in the United States, which claimed that the vaccines were not related to autism, came out. So it was in that intervening time where the government was allegedly, honestly looking to see if there was a connection between MMR and autism, and they found it. That's the whole point of this book. They found a connection in their study where they were looking in Atlanta, and they found a much higher increase in autism in African American boys who got the MMR vaccine on time. So, then, rather than announce that finding, the government researchers, including Thompson, got together and found ways to diminish and then eliminate that result, so they could plausibly say that there was no connection. They had to torture the data to try to make that predetermined result come out.
So just set the table for us, if you would, Kevin. Dr. Brian Hooker. He was a scientist. He was investigating autism. He had, I believe, a child with, I don't know if he had regressive autism, but he was investigating this. And how did he meet up by telephone with Dr. William Thompson?
Yes, I think, I don't know all those details, but Dr. Hooker, yes, similar. I have a child with autism also.
Yes.
And I believe Dr. Hooker's son regressed like my son did. And I think Dr. Thompson, if I understand correctly, was assigned to Dr. Hooker as a Freedom of Information Act liaison at some point. And Brian is very talented in many ways, but he is an extraordinarily tenacious Freedom of Information Act user. So he's come up with a lot of it. I think over time, Dr. Thompson admired Dr. Hooker's tenacity from afar. And that's what led to the phone conversations between Dr. Thompson and Dr. Hooker, which I believe were initiated by Dr. Thompson, CDC's doctor.
So Dr. Hooker had initiated a FOIA request, and
hundreds of them.
Hundreds of them. What specifically was he looking for?
Honest data. I think looking, because we, over time, we've learned that we can't trust that the raw data that CDC scientists get will come out as honest data in the end result paper. So I think it was getting the original results and kind of checking their work.
So the study where they had omitted this data of these African-American children in Atlanta, that had been scrubbed from the findings. So presumably then Dr. Hooker read the CDC report minus that data, and I guess alarm flags went up perhaps, and then he initiated the FOIA request. Is that basically how it went down?
Yeah, well, I think the FOIA request came first, but the FOIA requests were coming throughout. But going through numerous iterations of the data, what Dr. Hooker determined was, and I think Dr. Thompson steered him in this direction a little bit. It's hard to tell from the transcripts, but I think Dr. Thompson was hinting that, and that Brian found it, was the major change they made to hide the result was they made the African American boys, if they made them have a Georgia birth certificate, it made the ratio go down far enough. So, this, again, stay with me on this. It's a subtle change, but it's important. It's how they made it go away. with the raw data, race is not something that you need a birth certificate to determine. And that was their initial study plan that said race was just self-reported. Are you white, black, what are you, right?
Right.
So I suppose some of the children in the study had moved in from other states. Some of the African-American boys who had autism and the MMR on time came from another state. So if they excluded those people from the study, those boys, then they didn't have the positive signal for an association. So that they intentionally tortured the data in order to get the result that they wanted.
Right.
So again, the way I think of it, another way to look at it is what would have happened if they had been honest, right? If they had gone with the data and said, hey, we don't know if what we found here is important. We need to do more research. There might be something to the hypothesis that MMR and autism are related. We found this data from Atlanta where the boys had African-American boys had a higher rate of autism. So, but we don't know. Maybe there are more African-American boys in Atlanta. So let's check other cities. Let's do five other studies to see if there's something to this.
Right, which is what Dr. Wakefield essentially was doing with his study. That's all he was saying. Let's look further.
100%. And here's when Dr. Thompson was outed. He's not a traditional whistleblower. In that he was outed. You know, he didn't come forward. You know, these tapes were recorded by Dr. Hooker. They were legally recorded. But once Thompson's name was known. Here's a text message that he sent to Carmel Wakefield, Dr. Andrew Wakefield's wife. Thompson texted, and Dr. Wakefield has this text, I've seen it. I do believe your husband's career was unjustly damaged, and this study would have supported his scientific opinion. Hopefully I can help repair it.
Hmm.
So Thompson is texting Wakefield's wife, saying that the study, the study that was published that had eliminated the data,
right,
would have supported his scientific opinion. How about that?
It's remarkable. You mentioned Dr. Thompson was an unwitting whistleblower, that he was outed by Dr. Hooker. But did the CDC put Dr. Thompson onto Hooker's FOIA request initially to throw him off the trail or to just to placate him? Was that the original intent?
I don't know. And again, I believe that to be the case. I'd have to check with Brian. I believe that the original connection was from FOIA. I don't know. I think Dr. Thompson's conscience got to him is what happened. And maybe the CDC didn't expect that. That could be the surprise. Because and look at it from Dr. Thompson's perspective. So he's working on this study in 2002, 2003, and they hide some data, and they hide that Wakefield might have been onto something. But Dr. Thompson doesn't know at that time that Wakefield's going to lose his medical license, that he's going to become a pariah, that the media circus is going to go after him, and that the medical establishment is going to cut off his head and put him on a pike outside the city wall, right? He didn't know that at the time.
Right? Interesting. Okay.
So I'm sure Dr. Thompson has regrets.
And initially, he didn't come out and tell Hooker that the data had been fudged, but he sort of hinted at places where Dr. Hooker could look to sort of figure it out on his own. That's my recollection.
Exactly. And here's another text. The first one was from August 20th, 2014. This is a week later, August 27th, 2014. And these are at the tail end of the vaccine whistleblower book that I wrote. They didn't talk about Andy's work directly during their transcripts. So it's like an appendix to the book.
Right.
Here's Dr. Wakefield starts a conversation to Thompson and says, is your attorney is your Mergen Verkamp press release real? Because that press release said that, you know, Thompson acknowledged that it was him on the recordings and that he would be happy to work with people to determine whether autism and vaccines are related, right? So Thompson responds, yes. Wakefield, thank you. That was the right and honorable thing to do. Dr. Thompson, I agree. I apologize again for the price you paid for my dishonesty. Dr. Wakefield, I forgive you completely and without any bitterness. Dr. Thompson, I know you mean it, and I'm grateful to know you more personally.
Wow. That's
an amazing exchange. That's an how is that not on the news?
100%.
Thank you for covering it. But how's that not in the news?
100%. The interesting thing is Dr. William Thompson is still working at the CDC, correct? He's protected under the whistleblower legislation.
He is. And I think that's you know, I think they're like just keep trying to keep him close, you know. And there's one private case that's been pending for 16 years that Dr. Thompson was potentially going to testify in. It's a case in Tennessee. And the CDC last year, President Obama's CDC director, Tom Frieden, declined to make Dr. Thompson available to testify in that case. So hopefully President Trump will have a different view if that situation arises again.
We should mention the book Vaccine Whistleblower, Exposing Autism Research Fraud at the CDC, Kevin Berry, my guest, and the foreword written by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We were talking before the interview, and Robert Kennedy had met with President-elect Trump, I believe, during the transition. And it seemed to be, the suggestion seemed to be that Trump would call for a congressional hearing, in which case, I suppose, Dr. William Thompson and other members of the CDC would have been subpoenaed. Where are we at with that? Do you still talk to Bobby Kennedy about that?
Yes, from time to time. It's not like Bobby and I hang out, but we're friendly. Here's where that stands. It's not exactly a congressional hearing. The president can't make a congressional hearing happen. But what it was going to be was a commission, like an executive branch presidential commission that Mr. Kennedy would have headed, would still head if it happens, where they would get people from all sides, get immunologists, get toxicologists, get medical people, and actually take a look at all the data, take an objective look at the data, the safety data and the data for harm, which has never really been done. And so that was what was talked about. That was what I think Bobby Kennedy would be very happy and be the perfect person to lead. But I think that trail has kind of gone cold. I think they had a couple of meetings about that in the spring, and I don't think anything has really formalized in a positive way in the last few months. And I could be wrong about that. I'm not in the inner circle of these any phone calls on this, but I'm pretty sure I would know about it if it was a hot topic, if it was heating up in a positive way.
Right. Well, here's a positive development, particularly if you're a web designer or a web marketer. I want you all to know about Pear Networks. If you're looking for world-class website hosting at a fair price, this is the company I've been talking to you about, Pear Networks. They host hundreds of thousands of websites. And why do I recommend them? Simple. They set the standard for excellence with a technical support staff that is second to none. Their support team responds fast, and they always give straight answers. That's very important to me. Plus, they have top-of-the-line technology. That's why Pear Networks offers total reliability for your website, with a money-back guarantee, I might add. So whether you're a professional web designer, a busy web marketer, or you're just getting a site online, Pear Networks has a web hosting plan that's right for you. Log on and learn more at pear.com. Let me spell it out for you. PAIR.com. PAIR.com. Pear Networks.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Then, it is violently opposed. Finally, it is accepted as self-evident. Let me just read that again and what that means. Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Attorney Kevin Barry is with me here on Conspiracy Unlimited, the author of Vaccine Whistleblower. We should also point out, Kevin, you mentioned it off the top, but again, you are the father of three boys, one of which has regressive autism. How did that manifest?
He's about to be 20. He'll be 20 next week. And when he was one, he could talk. I'd come home from work. My dad, I'd go in. He hosted his first birthday party, and he couldn't speak by the time he was two. And he's still not as conversational at almost 20 as he was at one. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen. You know, kids aren't, they don't self-destruct. You know, so something happened to him while he was alive, and that's what tens of thousands of parents all over the world and in this country and Canada and everywhere have been reporting for years, and we've been told that we're just wrong. The kids always had autism. We just missed the signs, which is just nonsense. Because if parents in ancient Egypt had that happening to their kids, it would be in hieroglyphics on the wall. You know, the parents right. don't miss when their right. kids can talk and then they can't. It's impossible to miss, right? So, I'm wondering when this is going to have its Me Too moment. You know, like the, right. the sexual assault accusers, and now they're being believed. You know, we have tens of thousands of parents who are all been saying the same thing for decades, and at some point we're going to be believed.
Did your son receive the MMR vaccine?
He did, but I don't. It's hard to say like what exactly got him. Because he did have the MMR vaccine and chickenpox about 2 weeks before he started trailing off, but it's not like he fell off a cliff. It was more gradual over months. So it's hard to say exactly what got him, but something environmentally happened to him while he was alive, and the number one suspect for that issue is vaccines. Like, what do all kids have in common all around the world? You know, like, what does everyone have in common? Not that much. You know, there's different air, there's different water, there's different this, there's different that, but the vaccine program is what's universal.
And is it now Dr. Wakefield's theory, Dr. William Thompson's theory, that there is a causal relationship, or there is simply a correlation between the MMR vaccine and autism?
I think that I wouldn't want to speak for them. I think it's to me it's hard to say. What it is, what I can say with certainty is that the entire vaccine program, the government only ever looked at two things. They looked at one vaccine, not the whole vaccine program. They looked at just MMR, and they found the problems with MMR. They found, and that's the Atlanta study. And Dr. Thompson says they committed fraud on that study. So they also looked at thimerosal, the mercury preservative, which is one of 200, 300 excipients or ingredients in vaccines, and they found problems with that. Dr. Thompson says it causes five times more ticks in children. The tick phenomenon is also three or four times more likely in kids with autism. So there's like one step removed from autism on the mercury that they looked at. It's more direct with the data they hid in the MMR vaccine. So there's two things they looked at. They found problems with both. And they didn't even look at all the others. Like currently, kids get six shots at the 2 month visit. They get five at the 4 month and six more at the 6 month. It's craziness.
Just give me those numbers again, Kevin.
Six shots at the 2 month visit.
Right.
Five at the 4 month visit, and then six more at the 6 month visit.
So 17 vaccines in the space of A year and a half, 2 years?
6 months.
Before they're 6 months.
Yeah.
17.
But also, like, from a parental perspective, or any even scientist perspective, to be asked what, if there's a problem after getting that soup, what's the problem? Was it the third one alone? Was it two with four? Was it six with one? Was it 1, 5, 6? You know, how do you know? How can you tell with certainty what the problem was when it's the field is by definition muddy?
Right, right. And they don't want to acknowledge that there might be a problem. Not that there is a problem, but there might be a problem, and therefore they're unwilling to investigate. I mean, has there ever even been? I mean, this is an entirely different, you know, topic for an entirely different show, but has there ever even been a double-blind study on the effectiveness of these vaccines? I mean, that's the gold standard, right? The double-blind study. Have they even compared vaccinated populations with unvaccinated populations?
Well, there was a recent vaccinated-unvaccinated study, a small one, that showed significantly less chronic illness in the unvaccinated population. That's a study that was done by Dr. Mawson, M-A-W-S-O-N, who's from Mississippi. You can find that study online, but it had under 700 people in it, so it was relatively small, but it could give clues for future vac-on-vac study. I don't know how to answer the other part, except to say, when they say safe and effective, it's just here's the bait and switch in the vaccine program. When the money's flowing in, it's marketed as safe and effective. But if you're injured, the reason they have liability protection is that by definition they're unavoidably unsafe. It's like the reason you can't sue the companies that
right.
make it is because it's unavoidably unsafe. But they market it as safe and effective. So
yeah,
how
you
is
can't
the
have it
thing?
Both ways. You can't have it both ways.
They've had it both ways for 30 years.
Hmm.
And here's how they get away with that pretty simply. And again, I'm a lawyer, so you learn to read, like, look for phrases you see routinely. And they say it's safe and effective on a population basis, right? They'll always say it's safe and effective stats, right? But it's unavoidably unsafe for an individual. Right.
Right.
So
right.
It's the same thing as saying, you know, like airline travel is safer than a car, but nobody tells the people who were in the plane crash that it didn't happen. You know, like, even though it's statistically safe, doesn't mean it doesn't have bad results sometimes.
Well, and the other thing is individuals have different tolerance levels, so you have to account
right.
for that as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
There are special courts in the United States, or a special court, set up to adjudicate vaccine injuries. How does that work exactly?
It doesn't work. I guess is the simplest way to put it. But there are table injuries. It's a very time-consuming process. I think they've paid out somewhere in the $3.5 billion. Over the time of its funding, but it's actually, I'm sure the problems are much, much bigger than that. You know, the latest surveys were, have the autism rate at 1 in 36 from a 1 in 10,000 in the past, which is over 20,000% increase in one generation.
20,000% increase in autism in a single generation.
Yeah, yes.
My word.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen, right? There's no such thing as a genetic epidemic. So here's one of the things I wanted to mention, because it's happening. The vaccine mandates are starting to happen on the large scale. The first one was California 2 years ago.
Yes,
and that's 39 million people live in California. One in eight Americans are Californians. So that pharma just took down a very, very large market. And you can't go to public school unless you get the 10 vaccines that they're forcing parents to choose.
And they're eliminating the religious exemption, correct?
They don't need the religious exemption. They're only offering medical exemptions, and licensed, and doctors are licensed by the state, so they can put pressure, and they are putting pressure on doctors to not offer medical exemptions. So they're really forcing parents to, they're coercing it, I guess is the word, better than forcing, because your choice is either homeschool, leave the state, or do what you're told on the vaccination.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's my Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive?
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator?
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you. Now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Clinky County 911.
There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
And there are now GPs. There was one case here in Ontario where a doctor sent notice to her patients, if you refuse a vaccine, I will no longer treat you as a patient or your children.
Yeah. And I think that's horrible, but I think what that would do for me would be an indication to get a new doctor. You know, like if your doctor is that concerned about managing their inventory of their products rather than the health of their patients, you're at the wrong doctor. I've had that conversation with doctors in the States. Where my sons go, I said, like, hey, we're never going to get the flu shot. Like, every year they say, oh, do you guys get the flu shot? And I'm like, no, just write down the Barry boys will never be getting a flu shot ever, right? But I don't want my doctor to buy a shot that they can't use, right? That from a business perspective. So just, like, take a survey from your patients. If you have 200 patients and 100 of them don't want it, only order 100. Don't order 100 that you're not going to use and they get pissed off about it.
Right. Right.
You know, but the idea that doctors are, most doctors, pediatricians, what they do is give out vaccines and antibiotics. That's all they do.
And the elephant in the room, Kevin, is that they get wined and dined by drug companies. They get flown to conferences to speak at conferences sponsored by drug companies. And yet no one is calling them on this obvious conflict of interest.
Right. Right.
What's...
Right. And, Sorry, there's one other thing I wanted to throw out in there. Because, like, from the human rights perspective, there's the Universal Declaration of Bioethics and Human Rights. It's from 2005. 193 countries unanimously agreed to this. Here are the principles under human dignity and human rights. This is Article 3. It says human dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms are to be fully respected. That's point one. Point two, which is the key one for our purposes, the interests and welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of science or society. So if we're saying, I mean, drink that in. That's an enormous statement that the individual takes precedence over society. And that's the way it should be.
Right.
That's the bioethics principle, because when society takes over, you get really, really bad results sometimes. You know, you get policies like one child in China. You get atrocities that happened in the 30s and 40s.
Right. That's the Malthusian philosophy.
Absolutely.
And the lie of, you know, the group. There's no such thing as a group. There's no such thing there's no such thing as a forest. There are trees. There are individuals. I'm actually surprised that something like that would come out of the United Nations. I mean, truth be told, I'm not a big fan of international type organizations like that. That's something I would have thought would be, you know, should be enshrined in the Constitution.
It is similar to the Constitution. Like, to me, that's the same thing as like the pursuit of happiness, the life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Like, if you can't decide what goes under your skin, you know, what's liberty?
Right.
You know, what's
right.
liberty? What's life? Like, what's pursuit of happiness? You know, if you can't decide what goes under your skin, and a parent can't decide what goes under its child, the child's skin, and a private company gets the benefit from that, that's craziness. But the way it's perceived in media and in state houses, and I've lobbied in Washington, I've numerous state capitals and at the UN, and they don't know this. The policymakers do not know what the bioethics and human rights standards are. They think, like, the pharma has done a great job of, like, making anti-vaxxer a curse word, right? Anti-vaxxer means you're like a Luddite.
Yes, you're a complete, and not only that, not only are you a complete kook, but you're endangering the lives of other parents' children.
Right, which is nuts. And again, to me, the whole herd immunity theory can be boiled down to this, is it's our product doesn't work, therefore it's mandatory. Right, it's like your pertussis vaccine won't work unless I take it. That's the argument. There's no other industry that gets to make that argument.
Where is it headed? Are we going to see children being vaccinated, you know, under the watchful eye of the local constabulary? Are they gonna haul parents into a court with their children and vax them right there on the spot? Where is it going?
Well, we gotta stop. I'm working on stopping that now. We have to educate policymakers on what the human rights and bioethics standards are, because like I started to say earlier, California they took down 40 million people with California. In the last year, Italy, the country of Italy, just passed a vaccine mandate for schools for themselves, and that's 60 million. And France just passed it. That's 60 million people. France just passed it for themselves, and that's 65 million people. So let me just read from that same UN document, Human Rights and Bioethics, from 2005, their consent line, right? This is consent. Any preventative, that's the vaccine, any preventative, diagnostic, and therapeutic medical intervention is only to be carried out with the prior, free, and informed consent of the person concerned based on adequate information. The consent should, where appropriate, be expressed and may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time and for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice.
Hmm.
Now, is not being able to go to public school is a clear disadvantage.
Right, right. Maybe, being fired by your pediatrician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's prejudice.
100%.
Yeah, and a disadvantage. I mean, it's clear as day, and it's unanimous. And it's not from 1605. It's from 2005. 193 countries. So if you don't want to get, and this is the other thing that's a little crazy. Like in California, you were listed as unvaccinated if you weren't fully vaccinated. So if you got 8 of the 10 shots that they wanted, but you didn't think you needed Hep B because it's a silly one to get.
Right.
You're listed as unvaccinated.
Or the Gardasil, the Gardasil vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, that's where I do think it's going. So I'm working on, it'll be out, I think I'm going to send it on Christmas or the day after Christmas. I'm the president of a nonprofit called First Freedoms, Inc. And I'm filing a human rights complaint against Italy. I'm doing them first and then France second. And then the United States, based on what happened in California, third. So I think I'll have those all done within the next month. And hopefully that will start the pushback. Any individual can do it. I'm going to do it. I'll make mine public. And then hopefully others will join in and do the same. And we can, if we can't reverse what happened in Italy and France and California, at least we can use it to educate the other 200 countries in the world. It's not something they should do. Or if they are doing it, just acknowledge that you're violating human rights and throwing bioethics out the window.
You know, 60 years ago, there were doctors that were, for example, recommending that you smoke menthol cigarettes if you had a sore throat. Do you think in 50 years we'll look back the way we do look back at doctors now who actually, you know, recommended one brand of cigarettes over another? Will we look at doctors that promote vaccines in the same light, do you think?
I think we'll look back and wonder about the cowardice. Wonder about the lack of curiosity. I have friends who are pediatricians who I went to college with, and they'll talk about it privately with me, but not in public. They all know that not every medical procedure is magically delicious, it's almost like a thin blue line. Like the public health priority, the number one public health priority is keeping vaccine rates as high as they can, and they kind of won't listen to anything else. It's an orthodoxy. Which is not science, but it's very, very close to religion. So like their belief is that the higher the vaccine rate, the better it is for everyone. And if you got to break a few eggs, you know, to make an omelet, you break a few eggs.
Right. You mentioned the flu vaccine earlier. I was trying to remember the name of the doctor. This was a study in the British Medical Journal. It was John Rappaport who drew this to my attention. And in the British Medical Journal, this doctor is trying to explain why the flu vaccine is not effective. One of the problems is when it's mutating, when it's cultured in the chicken eggs. And the other problem is, this to me was a real stunner. The other problem is that most people that are hospitalized for the flu don't even have the flu virus. And so a vaccine can't be effective against people who have the flu because most people don't have the flu virus. Wrap your head around that.
Right, that's craziness. But the other thing that is always bothering me is if you're making a drug and you call it a vaccine, you have it's kind of like pure profit. You have no sales force. The sales force for most of them is the school nurse. Mm. The sales force for flu vaccines is CVS. You whatever revenue is generated, there's no chance. You have no legal bills to pay. If there's anything happens in vaccine court, that's the federal government represents the pharmaceutical companies against the injured person. So the injured family is against the Department of Justice, not anyone paid for by the pharmaceutical companies.
Unbelievable.
So they have no marketing, they have no sales force, they have no liability, they have no legal fees, right? So they can injure as many people as required, call everyone who says they're injured nuts, and just keep banking. It's craziness. So I do think it's going to, when people look back on this time, it's going to be one of those things. And it's and I get into it in the book a little bit, you know, about censorship. You know, the media censorship is extraordinary. Pharma is the number one advertiser in print and television media. So the major networks will not cover anti-vaccine stories because it's, it would upset their best customer.
Right. Well, here's the other irony. If you look at all of the leading peer-reviewed journal, Lancet, the British Medical Journal, the New England Journal of Medicine, flip through those. It's all pharmaceutical ads. Talk about another, right. Again, a conflict of interest.
Right.
I found the article that I wanted to share with you. And this was John Rappaport. It's a blog called The Great Flu Vaccine Hoax, New Evidence. This is from November of 2017. And it is Dr. Peter Doshi, or Doshi, D-O-S-H-I, again, writing in the online BMG, British Medical Journal. He states, every year, this is Dr. Doshi, hundreds of thousands of respiratory samples are taken from flu patients in the U.S. and tested in labs. And here's the kicker. Only a small percentage of these samples show the presence of a flu virus. This means most of the people in America who are diagnosed by doctors with the flu have no flu virus in their bodies. So they don't have the flu. Therefore, if you assume the flu vaccine is useful and safe, it couldn't possibly prevent all those flu cases because they're not flu cases. The vaccine couldn't possibly work.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense.
So, you mentioned that you're going to be taking Italy and France and the United States eventually before the human rights tribunal. Is that how it will work?
Yes. Well, this has never been tried before. But there's a body in Paris that is supposed to mediate these type of things. Usually, human rights abuses are not like it's almost like if I witnessed some kind of genocidal thing, I can alert this panel in France and they'll look into it, right?
Right.
So this is a novel use of that concept where I'm a citizen. I'm in the United States. I read this article about what happened in Italy. Here's the bioethics and human rights violations standards that they're violating. Would you please call members of the Italian parliament, to like a mediation thing and, make sure that they know that they're violating their citizens' human rights and bioethics, and just call them to account on it. Right. And I don't know if the Parisian board's going to do that. I hope they will. I'm going to bang the pots and pans as loud as I can, and hopefully thousands of others will do it as well.
Well, and short of that, I guess the next best hope is for President Trump or someone in Congress. You mentioned the president can't force Congress to hold hearings, but if we can get Dr. William Thompson subpoenaed or someone else from the CDC. That's the other problem, this revolving door between who's ever heading the CDC. Then they're the head of a drug company. Then they're, you know, it's the back and forth is remarkable.
I personally have kind of given up on Congress. It's hopelessly corrupt. Whoever, you'd have to get a chairman of a committee to hold a hearing like this. And congressmen in the House get elected every 2 years. So if some chairman of a committee had a hearing on this and brought Thompson in on this, they'd be inviting pharmaceutical interests to spend millions at their against their campaign the next time around. So they're. I just think Congress is hopefully corrupt. The executive branch going with a presidential commission is a much, much more promising way to go.
All right.
Especially since President Trump has already articulated concerns about vaccination and autism being related.
Do we know whether his son Barron has autism? It has been hinted.
I don't know that at all. I don't know. Hmm. I don't know anyone in their family.
Well, good luck to you, Kevin, on all these fronts. And this may be our last best hope in this regard.
And thank you again for having me on. And let me just read through one quick. While we were talking, I called up the the vaccinated unvaccinated study that we discussed earlier.
Yes.
And so here's some of the details about chronic illness. A 3.7-fold higher neurodevelopmental disorders, which includes learning disability, ADHD, and ASD. 4.2-fold increase in autism spectrum. 4 times increase in ADHD. 5.2 increase in learning disabilities. 30.1-fold increase in allergic rhinitis. Mm-hmm. 2.9-fold increase in eczema. Those are all...
This was the small study comparing a vaccinated population with an unvaccinated population.
That's right. There was it was published in Frontiers in Public Health, I think in February.
Well, thank you for that. Again, the book is Vaccine Whistleblower. And that's Exposing Autism Research Fraud at the CDC with a foreword by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Kevin, again, thank you so much and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Kevin Berry. Well, New Year's Eve just 2 days away and I have to rush out, buy some champagne and party favors. The mighty Aphrodite and I and the twins will enjoy a nice quiet New Year's Eve here at home. We usually count down to 10 p.m. and then we're fast asleep by midnight. Sad? No, not at all. We like to start the new year well-rested. We'll get up early Jan 1st and enjoy a nice, brisk family walk as the sun is dawning on the new year. Hey, I'll be back in a second with a few programming notes. But first, have you heard about this free guide you can download? It contains a list of online power tools to make you more efficient, secure, even boost your income. And best of all, this online toolbox guide is absolutely free. How do you get it? Well, it's simple. Visit freebusinesstoolbox.com and grab your copy while they last. This guide has some of the very same online tools that successful business owners use every day, and each one is highly recommended. I know there are a lot of websites out there that'll offer a special giveaway like this, but then they want to stick you into a recurring program or some other deal. Very annoying. But this isn't like that. There's no hidden thing to try. No credit card needed. No cost whatsoever. BrightBiz is literally giving away this online toolbox guide completely free as a means of putting their best foot forward. But this is a limited time offer. So grab your free guide today and take your business and your income to the next level. Visit freebusinesstoolbox.com and get your free guide to 36 online power tools. That address again, freebusinesstoolbox.com. Well, Conspiracy Unlimited is going to take a very brief holiday. I will be back with brand new episodes starting Friday, January the 5th, 2018. Happy New Year. Until then, I'm Richard Serrett. So long for now.
A new Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.